Good evening, everybody. Hi, this is Ashok Vemuri. I'm part of the Banking and Capital Markets Group. And sorry, I could not be there with you in person. I'm here through video conference. So let me just quickly jump into my presentation. I guess the structure is a 15-minute presentation, and then I'll take some Q&A. And I think a portion of that Q&A will also be covered during the course of the open house. The next slide is the safe harbor clause. You're very familiar with, I'm sure. Next slide, please. The BCM Group contributed over $1 billion in FY08 revenues and has grown at a compound annual growth rate of about 45%. It is the largest practice in Infosys, has about 24,700 plus associates across 22 global development centers spreading across India, China, Australia, UK, US, Canada, and Mexico. We service a blue-chip client base covering retail banking, investment banking, asset management, brokerage, and trading, credit cards, etc. 3 clients with revenues greater than 100 million, 9 clients with a revenue greater than 50 million, and 45 clients with a revenue greater than 5 million. Next slide, please. Infosys has a strong presence in all segments of banking and capital markets. In the banking area, as I just talked about earlier, we service our clients in retail banking, commercial banking, treasury and cash management, cards, private banking. In the capital market space, we are doing projects and programs in investment banking, for brokerage houses, advisory services, for custody clients, and for depository and exchanges. A quick run-through to some of our statistics about our clients. We service today 6 of the top 7 U.S. banks, 6 of the top 10 securities firms, 4 of the top 5 European banks, 3 of the top 5 credit card issuers, 4 of the top 5 global custodians, and 6 of the top 8 mortgage originators. Infosys also has strategic partnerships with leading technology providers in financial services, whom we partner with to provide bespoke services to some of the clients in these spaces. Next slide, please. In a market that is roiled by the credit crunch, we see several trends emerging, and I will talk in a little more in detail about the responses that we as a company and as a practice are giving to some of the trends that are emerging, as well as talk a little about some of our success stories in these particular areas. The key themes that we see emerging, one is core banking, and the trend that we are seeing there is increasingly a replacement of legacy transaction systems to improve agility and reducing the total cost of ownership of core banking platforms. This is both in terms of migration, in terms of improvement, in terms of upgrades, as well as in certain situations, both on both sides of the Atlantic, in terms of actual replacement. We're seeing an increasing interest in the payment solution. The trends we are seeing are consolidation and transformation of enterprise payments, some of it driven by regulatory requirements, especially in Europe, an evolution of new payment standards, something that is stretching across from Asia to the US. Securities trading and processing continues to be an extremely hot topic, especially for our clients in the European sector. There is a significant focus on reference data driven by industry initiatives, and these more often than not are self-driven, and in certain cases are regulatory. Improving operational efficiencies by redesigning core business processes, which expands beyond technology and process to actually doing process re-engineering, which is a forte for us in terms of our consulting capabilities. Risk management and compliance, an area which never seems to go out of fashion. With a significant amount of money being spent on revamping risk management practices and regulatory oversight driven by the credit crunch and rising financial fraud, again something we're seeing significant interest in the earlier days in the US markets, but now we're seeing increasingly an interest both in Europe as well as in the Asian markets. Obviously, reducing the total cost of compliance and using the data generated from compliance and regulatory audit perspective to drive revenue for the balance sheet. IT cost reduction through structured enterprise-wide IT cost reduction programs. This is not an isolated or silo-wise line of business initiative, but across an enterprise IT cost reduction programs, which brings our technology forte as well as our process capability to bear. And focus on maintaining or reducing the ratio of IT spend to revenue. Next slide, please. So let me actually talk a little more in detail about some of the trends that I had earlier very briefly talked about. And let me start with core banking transformation, as banks are starting to look at overhauling their core banking platforms, some of which are more than 20 to 25 years old. Some of these have grown from custom package implementations to something that even the people who implemented these packages would not be able to recognize. The issues here are lack of documentation, inability to understand the system, consequence of mergers and acquisition on many multiple systems overlapping with each other. So the key trends here are consolidation and standardization to drive efficiencies and cost reduction, growing operational complexity not only from a product line perspective, but also from a geographical perspective, and increased oversight, regulatory oversight, as well as internal audit oversight, and leveraging information and transforming delivery channels to differentiate, and basically saying that their core banking platforms need to actually not only support and maintain the businesses that they're running, but also provide significant enhancement and drive products and revenue for them. Our response to these trends have been an integration of consulting and service capabilities with Finacle, Infosys' top-ranked banking solution. So essentially what we are doing today is building certain solution sets on some modular aspects of our banking product, and integrating this with our service capabilities, our process outsourcing capabilities, and our front-end consulting capabilities. Development of transformation approach, we have actually now got certain methodologies like Impact and VRM to help bank transform operations and reduce risk. This is again expands beyond this technology and process and actually provides a direction or a roadmap in terms of how the migration and how the new systems would actually function for a bank. Very quickly, in terms of examples, we have recently completed a direction setting phase for a large US bank. We assisted in the creation of a comprehensive transformation roadmap to assist the bank to build out the next generation integrated banking capabilities. Again, this was not only just a technology problem, also a process issue, as well as a change management and a process re-engineering program. Working with a large U.S. financial services firm to roll out a bank-in-a-box program, we are rolling this out across 16 countries in the first phase. It's essentially to drive a significant amount of deposit taking for the bank through channels which are outside of a brick-and-mortar kind of a situation. Engage with U.S. financial services company to deliver turnkey capability for customer and deposit acquisition, not only from the bank in a box program, but to also revamp their existing infrastructure to reach out to their client for acquisition of deposits. Next slide, please. Payments. We're seeing increasing consolidation in enterprise payments. We're seeing significant amount of innovation and rapid evolution of new standards. In fact, the pace at which this is happening is something that one needs to really consider in terms of the speed with which global payments is happening, local payments are happening, and the amount of significant regulatory oversight that is going into payments, whether this is as a response to the anti-money laundering or in response to new account opening or regulations that are there in the US on many of the cross-border transactions. So we are seeing a trend in the consolidation and transformation of enterprise payment space. We're seeing a rapid evolution of new payments and clearing standards, as well as a significant amount of regulatory requirements from a reporting perspective, as well as from a transaction clearance perspective. Commoditization and focus on value-added services. Every bank provides a payment service. What distinguishes one from the other? In our response, we have developed an enterprise payment hub solution that enables FIs to consolidate infrastructure and transform payment operations across lines of businesses, whether it is for commercial, whether it is for retail, local, cross-border, international, various currencies, as well as various mechanisms of payment. We have created a payment hub solution that is more of a platform story where we are able to develop solutions for our clients on the payments in a utility model. We're executing large payment programs supporting new payment standards, incorporating Infosys solutions both from a technology perspective, from a process perspective, and more importantly, from a front-end consulting and package space. We're leveraging competencies across verticals to come up with innovating offerings. Example, a healthcare revenue cycle management and procure to pay. And we're seeing significant amount of interest that our clients have for providing solutions to their clients that could be in the healthcare space, in the retail space, etc. We've implemented an enterprise money movement solution for a global financial services company. We developed an enterprise money movement platform which facilitates money movement functions across internal business units and external financial institutions. And this platform enables automated check processing, streamlines business process, reduces time to market, and enhances, most importantly for the bank, the float optimization. This has resulted, as per the client, in a total savings of up to $200 million over the last 2 to 2.5 years. We've implemented a near real-time payment service for a leading UK bank, and this is a SEPA solution for European banks. We're one of the leading providers of SEPA solutions, not from a product or a package perspective, but from a solution perspective and from our services perspective. In fact, we've been invited by multiple banking forums in Europe, especially in the UK, to talk about our SEPA capabilities. Most importantly in our payment solution, it is important to highlight that this is done in the form of a payment information utility. It is in the form of a platform, and this is something that is translatable, repeatable, and scalable across multiple geographies. The first example that I talked about, the payment solution, is also something that won us an award from Financial Times. Next slide, please. Securities trading and processing. This is more than just improving operational efficiency through use of technology, but also by redesigning core business process. We are focusing on reference data, which is obviously an extremely important area, given the wide scope of initiatives like the option symbology, the OSI. We're enhancing systems to support trading in all asset classes in a straight-through fashion and straight-through manner. Flexible and scalable processing frameworks for alternative investments, which are, as you know, increasingly becoming popular. Our response has been the development of a consulting framework and toolkit for effectively addressing the OSI initiative. And this is an initiative that we are working with most of the Wall Street players today. We are leveraging the Infosys SOA framework to help clients develop global trading and multi-asset class capabilities, and we're defining best-in-class alternative investment platforms. Again, a mechanism by which we are very confident that this is a repeatable and a scalable solution, and something that provides our clients with a utility model in being able to define best-class alternative investments programs. We're assisting four large broker-dealers comply with the option symbology initiative, something I talked about earlier. We engage with a large broker-dealer to consolidate their middle back office and disparate trading system. And in fact, the middle and back office has typically been our forte. And increasingly, we are finding that the results of what we are doing in the middle and back office are allowing us to go to the table with some of our front office solutions, which though are still in the state of build out and have not reached their maturity, are something that we are increasingly finding traction from with the clients and finding increasing appetite to engage with us in front office solutions. We are also assisting a leading hedge fund administrator in visioning their future state platform. Hedge fund administrators is now becoming a fairly large segment, not only in terms of the kind of work that we are doing with them, but also in terms of the depth and breadth of what we are able to bring to hedge fund administrators. So we are adding a lot more clients on the hedge fund administration side. Next slide, please. Risk management and compliance, intense regulatory scrutiny, who does not know about that, strong focus on risk management both internally as well as externally. And this is not a corporate function anymore, but it's being extensively delegated to the line of business, as well as more control from a corporate perspective. There's greater focus on operational risk management, need to cut costs and meet the capital adequacy needs, overhauling of credit risk management practice, driven obviously by the subprime crisis, and reducing compliance costs while strengthening surveillance of complex securities. Our response has been to deepen our already existing compliance solution stack by introducing it through a software as a service program and an integrated GRC, which is the government risk and compliance offering. We've expanded our credit risk offering, moving also into operational risk management, as well as strengthening our credit risk management offering and developing collection and bankruptcy framework solutions for our clients. We are partnering with best-in-class product vendors in the risk and compliance area, and we are partnering with them to produce not only bespoke solutions, but also solutions and services on some of the packages that they have. We engaged with one of the largest investment managers in redesigning and designing the enterprise-wide ORM program. This is a project that we have done for the chief compliance officer of a large asset management company. It's an extension of business and is a central coordination point. The program management office is run by us, and we are managing all the programs, numerous programs and technology and process efforts in ensuring that there is a centralized as well as a disparate risk management and compliance practice in the firm. Assisting a large credit card company in streamlining the collection and bankruptcy process, obviously this is something that we are seeing increasingly in the marketplace in terms of collections as well as bankruptcy process, so as not only to monitor but also to understand the impact of that and provide regulatory reporting. And we're also today very successfully engaged in an end-to-end implementation of leading compliance products at many multiple global financial services firms on both sides of the Atlantic. Next slide, please. From an IT cost reduction perspective, there is obviously greater focus in reducing IT costs with budgets coming under significant amount of strain. We've seen aggressive programs to reduce IT costs. We are seeing significant savings on the infrastructure costs. This is a huge item for the CFO to look in the balance sheet, and obviously something that we are increasingly being called upon to assist in the same fashion that we have assisted in the application development and maintenance space, and a renewed push towards risk-based outsourcing. This is being impacted or being seen or felt through various discussions that we're having with our client, and also leveraging enterprise-wide shared services to usher in operational efficiencies. Another reason why our platform-based, transaction-based, utility-based solutions are finding traction in the marketplace. We have not yet reached a point where the banks are agreed or have agreed to use shared services amongst themselves, but I think the significant move that lines of businesses within banks have agreed to do is. Our response has been to develop the Infosys IT capability framework and maturity model. We have devised the IT cost reduction strategies based not only on just doing the technology work or based on cost reduction through rate drivers, but based on infrastructure asset utilization, application portfolio rationalization, and doing significant amount of work on strategic sourcing. We have also responded by creating program management and governance frameworks to successfully execute IT cost reduction programs. In fact, one of these programs is actually one of another banker technology award in 2008 on the offshoring and outsourcing project. This is not only for successful completion of the project, but also providing significant amount of program management and governance frameworks and ensuring that this was something that was acceptable. We participated in the change management and we drove the benefits of that not only to the technology side, but also were able to translate that from a business perspective. We've leveraged Infosys frameworks to identify up to 20% IT cost reduction opportunities for one of the world's largest financial services firms. This is in the U.S., and we're partnering with leading U.S. financial services firms to carry out health checks for their IT landscape, not only from the perspective of where they are today, where they want to be in about 3 to 5 year time frame, the impact as a consequence of what's happening in the marketplace, whether it is whether they want to buy or they want to be bought over. We are also looking at technology roadmaps and the impact it would have on their various processes as this is getting, as this is evolving. Next slide, please. And this is my last slide, a very quick slide on the achievements and recognition. It's not just enough for us to talk about the work with the fact that some of the work that we're doing is being recognized in the marketplace. The Financial Times Banker magazine recognized us for the best offshoring and outsourcing project of the year, something that I talked about earlier, as well as the best payments and treasury services project of the year. And this is extremely satisfying that our money movement project won accolades and won the best prize, given that we were competing with not only industry players, but also with significantly large multinational service providers as well as product companies. Waters, of course, recognized as, again, second year in running as the best outsourcing partner. Waters, as you know, does this based on a poll of our clients in terms of how across various parameters. And we have been very fortunate for the second year in second year running to get the best outsourcing partner award. That is the end of my presentation. I'm open to questions. Thank you.
Hello. Can you give us a flare of the macro scenario that runs in the BFSI right now? Within BFSI, can you be a bit more granular? What particular areas are you more cautious on? Is it the capital markets for obvious reasons? But is it also commercial banking given the increasing concerns of the loan quality? Is it insurance? So if you can talk on your clients and the pricing models that you're seeing now.
Okay, so a fairly broad question with multiple parts, so let me try and address each one of them. from a macro perspective, we continue to see significant amount of interest in our clients, in our services, and our solutions. Obviously, there is some amount of trepidation in certain areas of capital market. Structured products, obviously, are not an area of investment. We're seeing significant amount of investment in the payments area that I talked about. Treasury continues to be an area of significant importance. Wealth management is an area where we're seeing a significant amount of investment. We're seeing investment in the advisory space. So from a line of business perspective, some of these are finding traction. From a geographical perspective, obviously U.S. continues to spend, maybe not at the same levels, but continues to do investments. And in the areas like risk management, in terms of compliance, etc., we have actually seen an uptake in the amount of dollars being spent and obviously a reduction in certain areas that I talked about, like structured products, etc. In Europe, I think we've typically been very strong in the UK market, and that continues to grow. But we're increasingly finding significant amount of traction and interest in the continental Europe space, where we are increasingly finding newer clients come on board to not only adopt a global sourcing program, but also about our specific bespoke solutions that we are building out. From an Asian market perspective, I think we're seeing definitely a resurgence, especially in the Japanese banks, who I think have discovered, so to speak, globalization. And I think their forays not only in Asia, but also in other parts of the world is increasingly requiring them, if you will, to engage with providers such as ourselves with our business models. We're seeing traction even in Japan. I think from a pricing perspective, I think we are seeing some amount of holding on to the prices that we have out there. We have not seen any huge negotiations on a transaction level basis. There are obviously concerns in terms of cost, but these are not something that I've necessarily translated from a rate or price discussion, but only from a total cost of ownership perspective, which obviously allows us to expand our service footprint and allows us to bring more solutions which will allow them to reduce their total cost rather than just being picky on certain rates or certain prices.
Thank you.
I just wanted to know, like, the core banking platform change. This seems to be one of the like worst times to go in for a change of core banking platform. So what sort of banks are actually going in for this core banking migration or changes? Are these the bulge bracket banks or are these the smaller ones?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Clearly, I mean, it's fairly obvious that in a period of such degree of in a period of turmoil that we are seeing, it's probably not the best thing to change the aircraft that you're flying in, especially mid-flight. But clearly what we are seeing is that some of the larger banks as well as some of the smaller banks are taking this opportunity to clean up their house. So they're basically looking at replacement of certain components of their core banking system. They are using our Pinnacle products, which is modular in its architecture, which allows us to take certain components and do plug and play to replace some of the either the components that have become outdated, that are not able to handle the transaction volume, and more importantly, as they're spreading eastward, if you will, into Asia increasingly and into Africa and Latin America, they are looking for certain products that can be customizable for the local market, which their existing systems are unable to be, are not flexible enough to do. So we are seeing interest in essentially the smaller banks to begin with, but clearly something that we are finding significant amount of traction in some of the larger bulge bracket players. Clearly that's not reached the scale and size that we would like it to be. I think it's going to take some amount of time. But importantly, I think we are seeing it in newer geographies, whether it's Europe, Africa, or Asia. We are seeing significant amount of interest in newer organizations that are also impacted by the degree of capitalization that they have. So what we would typically call a non-bank finance company would be the ones that are actually finding significant interest in these particular products. Subsidiaries of large banks are seeing, we are seeing interest in that. We are seeing interest in, as I said, in continental Europe, there's a significant amount of traction on this front. So I would not say that there are a large number of bulge bracket players out there that are finding interest in doing this in terms of core banking, complete core banking transformation or platform reengineering, but clearly certain components are being replaced and replaced with us.
Secondly, just wanted to know, like this symbology initiative, what is the revenue potential per investment bank? It will be like a very standard sort of a product which you'll be offering to these investment banks.
So what is the size? So I didn't get the question. Is it the size of the option symbology market?
Yes. No, in the sense like, okay, per bank, what is the sort of revenue generation that can happen from this? It's like more of a standard thing, I suppose.
More of a?
Standards related thing.
Standard.
In the sense like, it's symbology initiative, you said. No? What exactly will that
yeah.
be?
Okay, so there are many aspects to what we are doing on the OSI. One, of course, is clearly we are defining the architectural guidelines of existing systems so that they can are able to accommodate transactions on, which are required on the entire OSI landscape. We are doing impact analysis for key application programs, so it's not just the derivatives part of it, but also across the entire class of assets in which they are doing this. We have helped build a security master database, which is a fairly large program for any securities firm to work on. And we are helping in creating a testing strategy map from an OSI perspective. So the opportunities are fairly large. I think if you look at the kind of players that we have in the marketplace, we are probably one of the few who have an independent solution which is finding traction in the marketplace. So this is not combined or coupled with any kind of a product. I think this is an initiative where banks are beginning to spend significant amount of money. They have to, basically, both from a regulatory perspective as well as from an internal standards perspective. And given the fact that it's much more cross-border, we are seeing OSI initiatives in banks spread across both sides. So we're seeing significant amount of traction.
Thank you.
We'll take one last question, please. Coming back to your comments on pricing, so you said that there are no huge renegotiations, but customers are looking at cutting down overall costs. So what implication does it have from a profitability perspective?
Implications from a?
Profitability perspective.
Well, you know, I think if there is a significant amount of negotiation for commoditized business, then obviously you will not be able to continue to sustain the kind of profitabilities that we have so far. But as long as you're able to provide solutions which are based not only just on from a rate perspective or for a commoditized service, but are able to introduce newer services, and that's the point I was trying to make earlier in the presentation, was that you're able to combine so to speak, an end-to-end kind of a paradigm or a soup to nuts paradigm, which includes consulting, technology, and process, you're able to clearly bring synergies which reduce the total cost of ownership without necessarily impacting your profitability and actually being able to sustain, if not enhance that. And clearly, as you know, if you look at the complete depth and width of services that we can bring to bear, whether it's pure system integration, infrastructure management, validation, and all of these components that we can bring to the table in a much more focused fashion, we not only expand the kind of services or the total volume of business that we can drive, but also drive that at much more higher value points than you could do for a commoditized business.
Thanks. And could you also comment on the pricing in new deals? Thanks.
I'm sorry, I just missed the question.
Could you please comment on pricing trends in new deals?
Yeah, so newer transactions, we're clearly seeing pricing coming in at more or less the same levels to slightly higher levels. Clearly, this is geography dependent. This is clearly also dependent on the kind of transaction that we do or the deal that we have that is allowing us to enter into the client, to work with the client. So those that are more value-added, those which are more end-to-end, those of which are longer tenor, are obviously coming at better pricing points than the ones where you are essentially renegotiating existing transactions.
Thanks, Ashok. With that, we come to the conclusion of this VC.